I greet you in the name of our true and ever-loving God, who bless, redeem, and sanctify us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my rock and my salvation. Would you pray with me, O Holy Spirit? Beloved of my soul, I adore you. Enlighten me, guide me, strengthen me, and console me. Tell me what I ought to do and command me to do it. I promise to submit to everything that you ask of me and to accept all that you do to allow to happen to me. Jesus, I ask of you, just show me what is your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
A blessed good morning to my St. Sebastian family and friends of St. Sebastian. Please be as comfortable as you can be this morning. And it is good to be in the house of the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And feel the Spirit. As Ezra told us in our first lesson, this day is holy to the Lord our God. I am delighted. I am blessed, and I'm in love with you all over again. And I hope you're in love with me also. Because at 8 o'clock, I got up this morning, I says, it's raining. And as they will say, it's raining cats and what?
Dogs.
I remembered in Barbados, if it rained like this, you will have very few people in church. If I was in New York and it snowed like this, you would have very few people in church. This is the first Sunday I'm experiencing rain nonstop here in Melbourne Beach. So I had no idea what to expect. But I was shocked. I had 26 at 8 o'clock. But at 10:30, I know I have double that. And that's the graciousness of God. But when you hear my sermon, you're going to swear that I changed it. No, I did not. The Holy Spirit led me here. And this is what you're getting this morning. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day as it was his custom. And I repeat that again. As was his custom. Reveals Jesus' faithful attendance at the synagogue. The early synagogue life entailed singing, prayers, readings of the scriptures, and of course, an interpretive homily. I don't know if I do that, but if I do, that's good too. And if you get it, you do. If you don't, that's okay too. We come again every Sunday. And scripture readings. Seems similar to what we do every Sunday. But as Christians, we follow Jesus Christ. So we have been given an additional bonus now. What is that bonus? We get the body and the blood of Jesus Christ every Sunday. Even in Ezra, it tells them to go out and drink and be merry. But we don't have to go out and drink and be merry. It is all given to us. But amazingly, in today's world, we are enticed by so many outside attractions that a visit to God's holy place has become a chore rather than a time of reflection, prayer, and thankfulness. Church going has gone from being a habit to being an option in our schedule. I can't say that about you this morning because you're all here. But ministry is not just Father Gary's ministry to my St. Sebastian family. It is my ministry to my St. Sebastian family, and then your ministry to take the message beyond the walls. Jesus' ministry was a whirlwind, but he made sure there was regular attendance in the synagogue. We take a look at the new Christians now. And we find that there's always a reason why they can't make it to church on Sunday. And I'll give you a couple of examples. My work schedule is so tough, I have no time to make it to church. And I could just imagine those in Jesus' time. They walked, and they didn't live right next door to the synagogue. But look at our lives. This morning you got up, I know most of you, went from your house to your garage, got into your car, pressed the electric button, garage opened, and it brought you here. The most difficulty you might have had is getting from the parking lot to the church. But I call it your additional baptism to come in here. Now, God has made our lives easier. But are we grateful?
Yes.
Some of us are. You are, because you are here. Those who are not here, and I'm not saying they're ungrateful, but they've all found a way not to come and give God thanks. Then we have the other excuse. It is the only time my children have to play soccer, football, or baseball, so I cannot attend. I always remembered well my parents, and from the time I was, as long as I knew myself until I was 17, I made it to church on Sunday. Because my parents, or my dad or my mom would say, I am going to church, you are going to church. There's only one man in the house, and there's only one woman in the house. So if I leave here and I leave you home, you have now become the man of the house. And two men cannot live in the same house, so when I get back, what I would expect of you to do, leave my house. Because you have now decided that you're a man and you're not following on my laws. Not to say that we have to raise our children like they were raised. But do we prefer that we, the parents, raise our children, or the soccer coach, or the football coach, or the baseball coach? Because that's what happens. Because, yes, God has given us children with great talent. And he says, I can't win unless your child is here. They're the key to my team. Yes, we want to make the kids happy. Yes, we want to make the coach happy. Yes, you are happy too. But it's by God's grace that protects us, that gives us the chance to enjoy all of those happiness. So if it takes us an hour and 10 minutes, because I have gotten it down to a science that told me 8 o'clock, an hour, Father Gary, an hour and 10 minutes, and as I told you, the Episcopalians like to beat the Catholic to the lunch. So I make sure I don't go over an hour and 10 minutes. What does it take off us? We have been given so much to make it easy just to come and serve God. Who is the adult in the room to say that we are going to raise our children knowing the love of Jesus Christ? It has nurtured me. It has been part of my life. It has raised me up to be the person that you have chose to be your leader. And as I said, the church again is like a foundation. If the foundation is not right, the house is not going to build properly, and when the wind blows, which could be the football coach or anyone other distraction out there, you have a chance to fail. Then I'll hear the other says, well, I'm not coming to church because there are too many hypocrites in church. Yes, they may be right. Yes, they may be wrong. But you're not coming to church because of the person next to you. You're coming to church because you come to give God thanks. As Jesus said, it was the custom. You come because you listen to the word of Holy Scripture. You get to stop all the craziness that's going on around life. Feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. As Jesus had just gone through being tempted in the wilderness, but he came out stronger. And I know when you leave here on Sunday mornings, you feel stronger. You feel better. Your life and your journey for the week is a lot more less challenging. Because you have the love of Christ. And no one can take it from you. As I said, my homily may say something good, it may not. But the one key, and I tell everyone that you come to church for the most important thing as Christian is the sacrament, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You're not coming because of Father Gary. You're not coming to Thigh because you need a tax deduction. You are here for the love of Christ, a relationship that you have established with God. You know, in Jesus' ministry, you never saw him angry. The one time when he was angry was when he came into the temple and they had turned his place of worship into a den of selling market, doing all the wrong things. But he got them all back in line quickly. Just think of it. We may not like everyone in church. When Jesus announced that he would be the Messiah, the scribes and the Pharisees liked him for a little bit. You know, later in the ministry, they disliked him. But that didn't stop him from coming to the synagogue, because your relationship with God is personal to you. Do not let the person that next to you, although you have a problem with them, and again, what does the Bible tell us? You take it to the altar. You take it to the altar. Bind it. Find a way that you can resolve it. But you're not here to worry about your brother or your sister. You pray for them or you pray with them. You don't worry about whether they like you or not like you. And then there are those who don't come to church now because God has given us that grace of a remote control. So you can turn on your television and there's an evangelist and you're enjoying the scripture. And you know what they say to me? Oh, I don't have to leave home. I get the same word you're getting. But us as Christians, Jesus said, do this as oft as you can do this in remembrance of me. I don't care how much you click your TV, that evangelist or that Catholic priest or that Episcopal priest is not coming out and giving you the body and blood. You only get the body and blood when you come to the house of the Lord. That's the refreshing and the rejuvenating of our spirit to give us another week. I'll share a story with you about my sister. She's not here, but you can call her and tell her that I said it in the church. She was coming to visit me last Easter for a week. And my youngest sister said to her, you know that you're going to have to do a whole week of church. Now, my sister really hasn't been in church maybe about 15 or 20 years. She's the one that turns her TV on Sunday morning and says, I get Joel, and Joel Osteen motivates me, and I make it through the week. So my sister says, you're going to have your brother for a whole week, so prepare for a lot of church. Because it'd be very bad that you go and stay in his house, he leaves to go to church, and you're in the bed waiting for Joel. But guess what? She had a whole week of church. And the same sister that I knew before, and the same sister I know now, when I get on the phone and I speak to her, it is all about how great God is doing for her, how she feels just a refresh in her spirit. She's not going to church as often, but we're getting there, just like a lot of us. But she's feeling the Spirit. She's so feeling the Spirit that her grandkids were not baptized, and she said, Lord, don't let me die until I baptize my grandchildren. I go to New York to do a service, and she sneaks and brings them on the Saturday morning to have them baptized. God moves in mysterious ways. And as I said to you, I thought at 10:30 this morning I might walk the aisle, but when I saw so many of you brave the weather to make it to church, I said, I am going to get in the pulpit and preach. As good as I can, maybe you'll get a message. Church once a week is like repetition. We get up in the morning, go to the bathroom, we brush our teeth, we take a shower. We all have disciplines daily that we do over and over again. Church is where the house of our Lord, where God asks you to come and show his love, as Jesus said, as it was his custom. And it's so easy if you could read that gospel, and just read before it says that he went into the synagogue. It could have finished right there with a period. He went into the synagogue. But it was important that the message came as was the custom. And that's the custom for you and me, that we come on Sundays and give God all the thanks for what he has done for us. I didn't have an option as a child. Right now, I don't have an option as an adult. Because you come here every Sunday morning expecting that you're going to get Father Gary. Maybe if I'm not here, Father Greenwood might fill in, but I can't take that chance. I am the person responsible. You listen to scripture. You listen to wonderful music. And then you get the body and the blood to take you for the next week. As Jesus announced, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And just not anointed, but to bring good news to the poor. You and I were also anointed when we were baptized. Your ministry is to give love to your brother and your sister. We said we would walk down the side of the church because we didn't want to get wet this morning. But I always make it an effort to peek into the Sunday school room. And when you see the amount of kids that are in there that is going to come out to be blessed, you'll say to yourself, if they're here, why can't we? Today, many of us have lost our way in understanding what Jesus Christ means in our lives. I know what it means for me, and I could say I know what it means for many of you because you're here to give thanks. Let us one by one bring back the love of Christ and the importance of weekly worship. It's always good to find a reason not to do weekly worship, but the chance of missing the true life of Christ in his word and sacraments is just too good to pass on. And then it is so much fun to see you and to have coffee with you and to get your hugs. I would not stay home for anything. You know, I could easily say that my job is being your priest. And I say this in church, and I say honestly, I would still come here every Sunday and do it for free because that's how much I love you. Keep saying yes to Jesus Christ. And remember to put him first in your lives, because you know what? He has you first in his life. Each one of you are chosen uniquely special for God's love, and don't you forget that. His love for you is the love for the next person. He is not discriminatory with his love. So remember that he loves you. And it's important that one thing I remember hearing as a kid, it takes a village to raise a child. A child cannot raise a village. My brothers and sisters, we may go so long in life, so many things have changed, so many things have been created, but I still believe it takes a village to raise a child, and it takes a village to build a church for the love of God. Amen.
Amen.